Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone from wherever you're listening. I am Ann Smith, and I'm going to turn this over to Rhonda because, Rhonda, I'm still getting that echo. So challenging. I hope you can take it away.
Yes. So welcome, everyone. We're welcoming you to Circle Connections and another great radio show. There is no greater time than now for women to be awake, confident, empowered, and connected for the common good. Circle Connections is dedicated to support you in this process by bringing you inspiring and insightful conversations on topics that matter to us all as consciously evolving women devoted to making a difference. Women's leadership is needed now to save our planet. We at Circle Connections are dedicated to reach out to women and girls around the world to help unite efforts for making a positive difference locally and globally. Circle Connections is launching the UN Women's Circle campaign that will bring women and girls together to learn the benefits of using the Circle process to identify critical community issues and to ensure that the wisdom of grassroots women will be heard by local and national governments and the UN Women, the super agency forming at the United Nations. So don't miss out on being a part of this campaign and many other meaningful activities. Join Circle Connections today by going to www.circleconnections.com. It's free and easy, so don't wait. Today, Anne and I are honored to have as our guest Barbara Belknap. Barbara may think of herself as an ordinary woman. However, those who know her regard her as an extraordinary leader and powerhouse of a woman who continues to follow her call to make a difference. So Anne and Barbara have worked together on several issues. Until we know that Barbara's back on, can you share with us a little bit, Barbara, about how you and Anne first connected?
I am back on.
Oh, wonderful.
Can you hear me? I am back on. I had to step away for some reason, but anyway, it is great, Barbara, to have you on. And Barbara and I have worked together with the Gather the Women, and she's going to talk more about it later. But what I'm really wanting her to talk about not only is about women's leadership, because she personifies to me what is the feminine quality of women's leadership. And then we're going to jump into this amazing network that she started back in the 90s, an electronic network for Alaskan women. So, Barbara, thank you for being on. And let's first start with the question about women's leadership.
Well, thanks for having me. It's very flattering to have such a great intro. I think leadership is one of those things that it's almost an intangible, but you know it when you see it, and you know it when you have a poor leader. I think leaders need to keep their eye on the overall mission of an organization and keep it on track. Leaders need to be able to communicate in a clear way to the people in the organization. And that requires organization, and one of my strong suits is organization. And I think a leader also needs to balance all the different personalities in her group and know their strengths, particularly boards of directors, that sort of thing. In the 1980s, I was a member of the National Military Family Association Board of Directors in Washington, D.C., and we all took the Myers-Briggs personality test. And that was a real turning point for me in understanding myself. I'm an ENTJ, and that stands for extrovert, intuition, thinking, and judgment. And the description for an ENTJ is a born leader. After I had that test, my husband would say to our kids, Amy and Will, follow your mother, kids. She cannot not lead. So that also means I have to be really sensitive to introverts and people who are more guided by their feelings. But I think that it was real helpful to me to understand my own personality, and I was kind of born this way. You know, and I just seem to find these opportunities to lead. And now I can work with women's organizations, which I just really love.
Well, now tell us, because you really were a pioneer in creating an electronic network. And, you know, for people who live in Alaska, they know how vast the distances are. So what an amazing blessing. So how did that begin?
Well, it started in Centennial Hall here in Juneau. That's our big meeting hall. In March of 1996, there was a large women's conference in Juneau, and there were women from all over the state. And as you said, it's a vast state. You know, we only have like two major highways. We're not connected by a road. Most places aren't connected by a road. So it was not only were we going to all of these different seminars, there was just all this huge energy in the hallways. And during the conference, women from Alaska who had been to the United Nations Women's Conference in Beijing in 1995, they were searching out the activist women from different communities. And at the time, I was chair of the Juneau Women's Commission, and I was asked to meet with them in this big conference room right after the event was over, before everybody got on airplanes and took off. So there were about a group of about 20 women or so gathered in the middle of the hall, and literally the janitors were stacking chairs and tables around us and sweeping around us. So we were talking over this din and trying to figure out how to get information around the state for women. Governor Hickel had just abolished the Alaska Women's Commission, and the idea was, to find some way to replace that commission for a communication network.
Hello?
We have a glitch.
I can hear you.
So my son, Will, had just gotten his degree in computer technology, so I suggested, why don't we have a website? And this was 1996, and nobody really knew how to do that, so I said I would do it, not knowing how to do it. But I said, well, I'll put it together, and we decided right then and there to establish the Alaska Women's Network as a communications network. And we got emails from the women who were there, and our website, we based it on the Platform for Action, so each section is in tune with the Platform for Action from that Beijing Women's Conference. There were some birth pangs around this new kind of organization. We didn't have regular meetings. We didn't have chapters. There was a lot of angst around that with women. I went to meetings where we kept trying to explain that this is just a new kind of thing. We it's not like the League of Women Voters, or it's different. But we established ourselves as a 501c3, and we've been going strong ever since. And I'd like to thank our web goddess, because the web goddess is the one who keeps the website up to date and does most of the work, the actual work, Deborah Collins. And we have board members Carol Schwartz and Homer, and Yagani Atayan in Fairbanks, Susan Olson, Jan Blanchard, and Deborah Collins in Anchorage, and Deborah Garish in Juneau. So we have statewide representation as much as we can, but our members are all over Alaska and several women in the lower 48, including Carolyn Fleming, who's sort of from Texas, sort of from Anchorage, so she's on our board as well. So it really has worked. We have a listserv that I can send message out, meetings, anybody that's a member can send a message out to 177 women. That's how many women are officially on the listserv, and we get thousands of hits every week on our website. Unfortunately, mostly on the domestic violence page, but we have made a real effort to put information on, for women who are desperate, that they can easily find information for shelters. So it's evolved, but it has also remained true to the core values of that Platform for Action. So that's how
it started. Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I was a commissioner for the state of Connecticut years ago, and I'm sure they have, you know, like most states, we all had commissions on the status of women, and for most states, we went out of existence. And what I'm hearing from you is not only did you not go out of existence, you came into the electronic age after the Beijing conference and now have created this way of communicating that is instant and that breaks down the barrier of distance. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
More
you know, and one of the,
do
one
what
of
you're
the
doing.
Really one of the really fun things is seeing the connections, like the U.S. Women's Department of Labor from Seattle uses our website all the time. She uses our list all the time because that's how she can get word out to women in Alaska. And I had a really interesting conversation with these women who are women in the building trades, and they're in Washington State, but they want to communicate with women in Alaska about the building trades, carpenters, you know, plumbers, big, you know, heavy equipment operators. So a lot of this comes to me, and I have these great conversations with women. I never know what's going to show up, but it is exactly what we set out to do. It is a communications network. So,
well, and it takes a lot of bravery for a woman to, for anyone really, but I think in the role that you were in, to just be determined enough to learn the to make friends with the internet, to really utilize that way of connecting.
Well, it's, you know, I'm more of a word person than a technology person, and my son would stand by me, and I'd say, "No, you do it," and he would, we reversed roles. He says, "Mom, you need to do it yourself. You know, I can't do it for you." So he taught me HTML. He, you know, I figured out how to use it. And but he was always standing by, you know, if I needed him. But for the most part, yeah, I put the first one together. And the biggest challenge, of course, is keeping a web goddess, someone who is willing to do that work, because that is the upkeep, you know, of the shop, so to speak. That's the woman who at first I was that and the president, and then I got too busy with my job to carry all of that. So we've had three or four web goddesses, but they are very, very patient women, thank goodness, and just do a great job for no pay. Everybody's a volunteer. So, yeah, it's been it's very gratifying to run into women around the state who learn something on the Alaska Women's Network. It's very gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Now, does your government, your local and your state government, take you seriously?
I don't think they know we even exist.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I doubt it very seriously. And, you know, we don't even attempt to do that. We just keep, you know, keep this network going, keep this listserv going. And, you know, we were on Facebook now. We have a Facebook page. So we're trying to get, you know, more up to date with social media. And but mostly, you know, I feel really good when a woman will say, one of the things that is a sad side of this that we've had to learn is how to be very careful for women who are going on our website in an emergency situation, an abuse situation, so that it's erased from their computer as soon as they go online. And our web goddesses had to figure out how to do that so that a woman won't get into, you know, in even more danger. And that has come up a couple times a year, almost ever since we started, is some woman will come to the site and need help fast, a shelter. And one of the things we found is, for instance, the shelter in in Fairbanks had a very kind of obtuse name that women could not put in the search engine and find it in Fairbanks. So we notified them of that problem, and I think they took care of that, so that a woman who's in a, you know, trying desperately to find a shelter in Fairbanks can find one. So it, you know, that part of it, it, you know, it's sad, but I do feel we're providing a service there.
Well, you're providing a great service, and I know my own involvement with Native Alaskan women, especially for those who live in remote villages, there are no shelters. So they're working on now how can they can create a safe home, and then they said, well, you know, that's still dangerous too. So that's just, it's a major problem for women around the world. But to have a website like yours that stays active, that people, women know that they can call in and get help, and then having the technology so they can't be traced is an incredible service. So congratulations, and thank you for doing that service, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think the greatest gift that we can offer women, all of us who are dedicated to standing in a role of empowerment, it is so that women have the opportunity to speak for themselves and have a safe voice and have the tools to learn how to step out of that role of being the victim into their own true empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big, you know, I always say that, you know, I won't consider women equal till there are no more shelters, because as long as there are women's shelters, women are still not on parity. And so, but in Alaska, you know, we have such a beautiful state, but we do have a huge issue with violence against women and children. So that's a part of what we provide, is that safety. We have a woman, Deborah Garish, on our board who is really dedicated to the issue of prevention of child abuse. So she has a lot of connections that way. The, you know, our board is diverse, and we have women that can connect with all kinds of different communities in the state and bring that to us, aside from just what women volunteer to just send us on email or, you know, let us know what's going on. So it's working. I mean, it has worked, and it's been very gratifying. And when I think back of the very beginning and the meetings we had and the angst over, you know, where are we going to meet? Will there be chapters? You know, when we just, you know, really stuck to our guns and said, no, this is not going to be like that. This is going to be electronic.
Right.
And it was just really difficult for some women to deal with, but it turned out okay, and it's certainly a lot less cumbersome than it would be if we had tried it any other way. And we still have no women's commission here, and have not for a really, really, you know, ever since Governor Hickel. So there still needs to be some mechanism to share information.
Well, or maybe for the, you know, the state of Alaska to commission you. I mean, why would they have to create another one when you've got the network and you're doing the issues? You know, of course, it's always hard to get the governments to see that, but, I mean, if I was governor, that's what I would do.
Yes. Well, I think you have to compete with the oh, gosh, what's his name now, that was going to marry Sarah Palin's son? Isn't he running for governor of Alaska?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch some
one
other TV
things,
shows to find out.
Yeah. One of the things that I found out my last time up in Alaska this last fall was when we were working with the Native Alaskan women, and it's been a 3-year journey, as Barbara, you know, you so well know, that going from truly not knowing if they had the strength as Native Alaskan women to help their villages and their communities, but then realizing, and these were the grandmothers, that yes, there was no one else. They had to do it. And now that their daughters and their granddaughters are also helping, they have gone from victim, you know, now stepping into their leadership. But as we were talking about, they were talking about, you know, a lot of problems, all from the disease of internalized racism and sexism. And two women who are from this little village said, from Venati, said, we don't have any problems. We said, what? We're all going to Venati. And it's because they don't allow alcohol or drugs into the community, and they check the all airplanes before they take off to go to Venati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, one of the things is that
of a village can be a killer, or in that instance, the isolation of that village has helped them.
Well, one of the things is there are more women, you know, Alaska does not have Indian reservations. We only have one federal reservation, and the rest of them are, it's a corporation. And there are more women now who are heading these Native Alaska corporations and providing leadership as women, where before it was all men. So there are some good men doing this, but Alaska, you know, it's a complicated issue. It's very complex, and I can't speak to it because I'm not Native, but I do know that it's that there are more women stepping into leadership positions, and that seems to be going back to sort of a matriarchal lineage thing that I think would be good for villages in this state. But again, as a white Alaskan, I would not ever, you know, say, but I would, you know, my sense is that there are more and more women becoming presidents of the Alaska Native corporations. So,
right.
But, you know, I'm so happy you came to Alaska, and it was great to see the pictures on your website.
Well, it's been a total wonderful learning experience, and just, I mean, I love Alaska. You know, it's so amazing because here I live in the Everglades, and then I go to Alaska, and it's like we're the two last wildernesses of the United States, both being threatened, of course, environmental, all kinds of wanting to tame us. But I love both places. I just love both places, and I just want to thank you for the Alaskan Women's Network. I feel every time I go to help with this, the support of your network. And so it's an amazing network you have created. Yeah. So tell us about Gather the Women.
Well, Gather the Women Global Matrix is an organization that was started in Southern California, and it literally is about gathering women in circle. And not for a specific purpose, but to enable those women to go forth, you know, fortified with strength and spirit. And I was, I am now what they call the matrix convener, and I feel like I should have a big long robe on, but it's basically the chair of the board. And the women who rewrote the bylaws, took them out of legalese and put them into Women Speak, guided by Joy Adams, did just a great job of changing the language to fit our kind of organization. And back in 2004, I was at Christina Baldwin and Anne Linnea's Peer Spirit Center on Whidbey Island, and I was learning how to build community and how to gather women in circle. I'd resigned my job 2 years earlier. I'd had cancer, and I was just having a tough time health-wise, and I just had to quit. So I just changed direction completely and decided my passion was being with women, having conversation with women, gathering women, and building community. So Anne Fitzgerald from Boston was there at that seminar, and just before we broke up, she said she was going to a Gather the Women event. And the words Gather the Women resonated so deeply with me that I caught up with her, and I said, Anne, what does that mean, and what is it about? And she said to me, oh, Barbara, I don't think you'd be interested. So that was not real prescient because now I'm the matrix convener. But when I got home, I bought Jean Boland's book, Urgent Message from Mother, Gather the Women, Save the World. I looked up the Gather the Women website, and I found partner organizations there. So I talked to the Alaska Women's Network Board about being a partner, and they said, sure. Then I emailed Kathy Schaaf, who was one of the founding mothers and guiding lights of Gather the Women, and asked if we could be a partner. And so things just kept rolling, and I flew down to Los Angeles for a Gather the Women event. And I met women there who are my dear friends still today. I could not understand the language at all. I felt like a, you know, a foreigner. And a part of that is the ENTJ Myers-Briggs thing with me. I'm very direct. It's really difficult for me to speak in spiritual terms. But I still, it just resonated with me and my heart. And so I came back and became the regional coordinator for Juneau, which means I hold circle gatherings in my region with my friend Darcy. And we use the circle principles that are so ingrained in me that when we have our women gatherings, everybody kind of looks at me and goes, are we doing this right? Are we okay? Because it makes a big difference if the process is a safe place for women.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been to all three of our national gatherings, and I helped organize the 2009 Gather the Women gathering at the University of Washington, Seattle. I love the women. I love gathering with women in circle. And this past year, Marilyn Nyborg, who was one of the founding mothers of Gather the Women, stepped down. And I was asked to be the matrix convener, and I did not feel that I was the right person and that we travel a lot, but everybody's promised me that we practice shared leadership as we do in circles. So I said, okay. And that means that other women step up if I need them, and we all share the decision-making. So, yeah, we have women across the country gathering women in circle, and we talk on the phone once a month with them. And it's always just this community. And then now we meet each other in person, if it's at all possible, which just cements those relationships with each other. Because I'm really all about relationships with people and women. And I have had circle gatherings in Juneau where women sit in circle for the very first time, say their name, and burst out in tears because it's such a safe place. And, you know, I feel that's a service. I feel really great. It's good for me. It's good for the women, Darcy, and I love doing it. I found a real niche with Gather the Women for a part of me that just was waiting to find a way to be. So that's the nutshell version of Gather the Women.
So how would
give
our
us
listeners
the website for both? Well, yeah, what? for both the Alaskan Women's Network and Gather the Women Global Matrix. Both websites, please.
Yeah, one is alaskawomensnetwork.org, and the other one is gatherthewomen.org. So you can sign up on Gather the Women to be part of the matrix. You can. It's a very ethereal kind of place called Light Pages that I still don't really understand, but it holds all this information. But you can go on Gather the Women, find out, see pictures of our gatherings. Alaska Women's Network, again, is based on a platform for action, so you find pages, you know, that have to do with government and poverty, all those things. You know, I am the person that you can email at the bottom of the page on Alaska Women's Network and Gather the Women. So it's easy to be a part of. We have women from out of state like you, Anne, who are part of the Alaska Women's Network that just like to be connected. But it's mostly what women do best, I think, which is forming these webs. I always think of, you know, everybody says this about Gather Women, it's a net that just spreads across the country with all these little knots in it that are really the women that are holding this net in place and doing amazing things in their lives. And I just love it. It's my passion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and women have found their way to the Gather the Women of Florida, so by going to that website, and then they will contact me and said, and then I bring them into the network that's down in Florida for Gather the Women. So I know we're close to having to say goodbye, and thank you, Barbara, for being on our show and doing such amazing work. And Rhonda, I'll let you close this out.
All righty. Well, we are grateful to Barbara and to our listeners for joining us today and invite you to tune in every Monday. So please pass the word and don't forget that you can listen again to this and other archived Circle Connections show by visiting our website at circleconnections.com. It is through the power of connection and being in circle that we co-create a new earth, one circle, one connection, one step at a time. And do remember that it is far more fun to be in circles than to keep running in them. This is Anne Smith and Rhonda Hull with a deep bow of gratitude to Barbara saying goodbye. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you.